Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, let's look at parenting through difficult seasons. We're going to be joined on the line by Elder Walter Takavakure, speaking to us about this subject, from tantrums to teenage rebellion, illness to financial strain. Parenting is not always sunshine and lullabies. Hello, somebody, right? Sometimes it feels like a storm, but even in those seasons, God is still present. So how do parents stay grounded when everything around them feels uncertain? My elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Hello, Elder. Good morning, Elder Walter. Can you hear me? All right. It looks like we're having a little bit of trouble with that line. Let's try that again. We're talking about parenting through difficult seasons. If you have any experience in this area, please make sure that you text us on +27734703520 and let us know what your experience has been. How has it been for you going through the seasons, the different seasons of parenting, the different ages? I always laugh when I see this meme where parents are. It's a parent who's saying, you know, the difficult part is over, and she's talking about a little six-month-old baby. And you see the mother of a toddler cheers. The mother of a teenager cheers. You'll see. You're not even there yet. My elder, are you there?
I'm Wongi. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm on the road. We lost a church member, so I'm on the road, but we can talk.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. May God be with us.
That's all right. Sure.
All right, fam. So we're talking about parenting through difficult seasons and some of the challenges that we might face in that period. What does trusting God look like practically when parenting through health or financial or emotional challenges?
It's pretty much a very, very, very difficult challenge or a responsibility. But I think the basis of it is the understanding that children are a gift from God.
Mm.
So we need to handle them with the understanding that they are not ours. They were given to us by God. The story that when you indicated we are going to have a conversation around this, my mind was directed to the story that is in the Bible about the man, the king who left talents and went away.
Mm-hmm.
Children are the equivalent of the talent.
Okay.
The owner of the talents has gone away and has left them in our custody to keep.
Mm.
So the attitude of us as parents is also seen in the servants that the that were given talents by the master. And I think that's where the issue is. Many of us parents, we think children for us to decide how we raise them.
Mm.
So I think the principal thing, Moni, is we need to understand and accept that children belong to God. And because they belong to him, he determines how they are raised. But we have parents who make decisions sometimes that they feel are in the best interest of the children, but are not in the best interest of the owner, which is God. So I think the basis or the starting point in parenting in this age is the understanding and acknowledgement that children don't belong to us. They are just for us to keep and raise on behalf of the owner, who is God.
Yeah.
I think that forms the background and the basis.
Beautiful. I think that's a beautiful place to start, just recognizing that they're not even an extension of ourselves, as we often think, that they are an extension of ourselves. We want to treat them the way that that would make sense to us, but rather that they belong to God. So how can parents support each other as a team during hard seasons?
Yeah, I think... You know, there's a saying that is always said around to say it takes a village to raise a child. You know, it also comes from the understanding that when children are growing up, we need to understand probably even from the perspective of, say, the church family becomes important. The church family becomes important to say everyone within the church is an interest that our children grow up straight and all right. But many times we then see parents sometimes thinking they do not want collective parenting from the church family. We have parents who, you know, when you grow up, you would realize that when we see a deacon, look at you when you're in church, and they just give you an eye. You know, I'm in trouble. I will need to keep quiet. But now, if a deacon looks at my son or my daughter, many of us are not comfortable with that. So I think it's then evident in what we see in the degeneration of our children and the character of society as a whole, because of the quality of children we are producing, because we feel that it's an art. So I think in terms of supporting each other, we need to probably as parents to acknowledge that we all have an interest in the child. We all have an interest in making sure that children are raised in the fear of the Lord and children are actually raised up to. So I think that understanding is just a mindset shift off from the parents' perspective to say we need to understand that we should do collective parenting, we should help our children together, and that's where we're going to create very, very God-fearing communities and a very God-fearing church.
Amen. Very true. Very true. Now, what's the balance between showing vulnerability and maintaining strength for your children?
You know, I think that's a difficult one, but but you know, one thing that I say is, I think the best thing that we need to realize that God has blessed them, the family setup, with an object lesson, or as something that we can learn from the relationship that He has with us as a father. So God is the lawgiver, but He is a loving lawgiver. So parents, particularly the father in the home, is the lawgiver. But in copying from the supreme lawgiver, who is God, He exercises authority in love. So I think the critical thing is, remember, even the Bible says, fathers, do not offend your children. It comes people when you say that. It comes from the understanding that fathers can actually offend children. So I think, but also within the same chapter, He gives responsibilities of children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So it's critical to balance the two, to say all authority that is exercised out of love is not godly. All authority, even fatherly authority exercised outside of the of love, is not godly. So one thing that we need to understand, that even as parents, is as we lead and guide our children, it should always be out of love. Many times as parents we have weakness. I have two children as well, and sometimes I'm coming from work and I'm frustrated with work, and my patience is really tested and strained. And I get to work and they misbehave. Sometimes you're quick to execute discipline. But that discipline is not out of love. It's actually out of your own frustrations. And children can actually pinpoint that this discipline is not, yes, I did wrong, but this discipline is really, it has nothing to do with what I've done, but with his own frustrations. So I think one of the things that we need to do is children have to be firm, but they should, if parents have to be firm, but they should also realize their responsibility to show the character of God, who is a loving father. So I think, yes, so whatever we do, we copy from God, who is a loving Father. But the Bible also says, ye who I love, I chastise. So what chastise? So what it means is, correction does not mean the absence of love, but at the same time, we also need to do all correction and all discipline in love and showing the love that God has also shown to us.
Absolutely. African fathers out there, I hope you're listening. We're talking to you.
Remember, I'm one.
Oh, I can say that I'm very free to talk like this because I know my dad is not listening, so I'm free to talk.
You know, I had a very strict father.
Yeah.
To some extent, it helped.
Of course.
But the problem that it does, we our worldview. In terms of even how our spiritual journey, because God has ordained that children learn who God is from their fathers, actually. God has put someone to represent God in every family.
Sure.
So when they say, our Father, what in heaven? The ideal of a father that they see is one God is allowed to be with them every day in the home. So even your spiritual journey, worldview of children is framed by the understanding of a father that they have. So that's the problem now. When you grow up as a child, when they sin, or even as a person, when you sin, you think God is a tyrant who's waiting for with a belt to shambok you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the father we have been taught. Mm-hmm. A father who's also quick to discipline. A father who's just there to say, if you do this, I'll beat you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the God that we know. Because when it's our Father in heaven, we think that's what a father is like.
Yeah.
And I think as African fathers, we have done great wrong. We have taught children that we have not shown who God is to our children. Yeah. To say, you know what, God is a loving Father. Even if you do wrong, you should be quick to go to Him. You know, your children should be, if they do mess up, they should be quick to come to you and say, they do have messed up.
Yes.
But we don't have such fathers.
We run away when we've done wrong.
Yes, we run away. And that's what we do to God, eh?
Yeah.
But it comes from the home. So the home set up is meant to teach what Christianity is.
Sure. That's powerful.
So children are meant to be... are meant to be taught Christianity, but their interaction with their parents, with their father.
Yeah. Fathers have a strong role. You guys have a really, really big responsibility.
Yeah.
Now, how do tough seasons impact children, and how can parents help them to process those difficult experiences?
I think tough seasons really... they're a reality of life, and many times I've noticed we as parents we are quick to proffer solutions to children when they get into difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say sometimes it's important. I actually met this a few weeks ago. Many times. We proffer solutions when we are supposed to guide our children to find solutions on their own.
Oh, okay.
For example,
mm-hmm.
we have a son or a daughter who I'm just giving you a scenario. It might not be a tough season, but it might be a difficulty, a challenge for an event. I don't want to speak to a season, but okay. We can then get lessons from it.
Sure.
I want to, yes. Let's say you're driving from to drop them at school.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, Daddy, I've left my homework at home. I forgot my book. What we are quick to do is say, I'm going to bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, the children, as you grow, they grow, they need to associate behavior. They need to associate, to know that the world is not an easy place.
Okay.
So they need to grow up with the idea of coming up with solutions for each and every challenge that they face. So when we are a parent, when you are a parent who always steps in to provide a solution to the challenges that they meet, what you are creating a dysfunctional child. Mm. Someone who cannot exist in the outward, in the world out there. So I think difficult seasons for children and for parents should be in such a way, should be handled in such a way that children learn from them. They realize the world is not an easy place. You have to create, to come up with solutions and to learn from them. So I always say every challenge that we face is not to be wasted.
Okay.
It is. To, yes, every challenge that we difficult, even every difficult season is not to be wasted because it's an opportunity to be hardened. It's an opportunity to be prepared for the next. So there is no challenge that you go through, that your children are going to go through, that is not a preparation for this life. Mm. God is not like, God is not a cruel God. So whenever we face challenges, I always say it's an opportunity to teach your children that God is preparing us for something. I always say this. When Joseph was told that you're going to be a king, and he was in a dream, what God showed him is that you're going to be a king. He did not show him where, neither did he tell him the journey to become king. He didn't tell him that you're going to be wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. He didn't tell him you're going to be in prison. He didn't tell him that your brothers are going to sell you. He didn't tell him that. Mm. But each and everything that happened in his life was prepared. Each and every difficult season was preparing for the moment you'll be king. Mm. So this is the lesson. My children, we are going through a rough patch today. You are going through a rough patch today. But God is not a cruel God. Mm-hmm. He is preparing each and every day. He is preparing you for. So in other words, our role as parents is to frame the mindset of our children to respond to difficult circumstances and situations in a positive way. Mm. To say it is not showing the neglect of God or the disloyalty of God or an unloving God, but it's whatever we go through is preparing us for our journey in this life. So basically, this is how I see and how I think our tough seasons really can impact children and their journey.
Beautiful. I like that perspective of teaching them to figure things out, essentially teaching them to figure things out on their own, because you're not going to be there forever to give them, to give them the answers, but teaching them from a young age to figure it out and that they can actually trust in a higher power than even you, a higher power than you.
Yes.
Now, what role does the faith community now play in supporting families navigating tough times? You already spoke of, you know, how it takes a village to raise a child and how we were, you know, the way that we used to view our elders when we were growing up and our deacons in church. Everybody, every auntie was your mother and every uncle was your father. How does the faith community at large play, you know, how do they influence and support families navigating tough times?
Yeah, I think the faith community at large, I think that's the reason why God has established the church as a whole, is to make sure that it makes known the character of God, mm-hmm. basically. And I think it is the responsibility of the church, you know, the faith community, basically, to drill down the value system or the values that God really wants to see in us. So I think when the church or the faith community sees each and every child, there should be this shared responsibility that everyone feels should feel when they see a child. That they should be, in a way, be drawn to responsibility to guide that each and every child that they meet to a certain value system. So I think the church really is the embodiment, or the faith community is the embodiment of the value system that make us, that form the value system that God wants to see in us. So I think they really occupy a very important role in making sure that we create a community that is respectful, that is loving, that is peaceful, that is caring. So I think these are the value system that we draw from our belief system, and the church really takes an important role in making sure that children are raised in those systems, in those value systems.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Brenda, for coming through and for sharing your perspective on the subject. I think as parents, in the different seasons that we face, whether it's a single event or it's an entire season, I think that the principles you've shared will definitely come in handy. Thank you so much for your time this morning. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Family, that was Elder Walter Takavakure speaking to us about parenting through difficult seasons. I trust that you were blessed by that conversation. If you have anything that you'd like to add to that, please feel free to do so. +27734703520.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.